And after much comment and debate, the first of 4 days of a consultative forum on security policy begins in Cork today. The forum continues in Galway tomorrow, and then there'll be 2 more days of discussion in Dublin next week. Our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham, will be there in Cork. Paul, what's happening at the forum today? Take us through the agenda for this Cork session and the speakers.
Yeah, the event is due to kick off in around an hour's time, where people are going to be gathering and networking, with opening remarks from the Taoiseach Micheál Martin sometime after 9 o'clock. After that, they're going to basically go through 4 big panel discussions. The first is a sort of an overview of the global security environment that we currently face. It then becomes more specific, the European security threat in the aftermath of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And I think that's one of the real triggers for this conference, that the fact that we've got war on the continent of Europe again makes it a time to reflect on where we are and what's happening. The third item relates to emerging cybersecurity threats, and obviously that's once again something that Ireland has been affected by with the attack on the HSE. And then the third relates to maritime security and critical infrastructure, and once again that relates to incidents in which we had Russian vessels parked off the Irish coast very close to some of the fibre optic cables that link Europe with America. So that's what they're going to try and deal with today.
And who are the panellists who'll be speaking to the forum over the 4 days? Who do they represent?
Well, I guess you've got an overview from academia, you've got some former military, you've got some people from think tanks, and you've also got some people from organisations. So Bridget Laffin, the Emeritus Professor at the European University of Institute and a good friend of Morning Ireland, she'll be there. Kate Fearon, Deputy Director of the Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They have a conflict prevention centre, and that's her area of expertise. Brigadier General Sean White, Director of the Cybersecurity Defence at the EU Military Staff, and then also Christian Boger, Professor of International Relations at University of Copenhagen. So a range of people there. Obviously, some of the people who were critical of this particular conference feel that there is just too many people who are either think tanks, former military, but not enough people who represent people who are opposed to war in general, who ardent supporters of neutrality, and they feel that there could have been more balance within those panels.
But overall, the speakers will include, won't they, Swiss representatives, a neutral country, Oxfam Concern, the Norwegian Centre for Conflict Resolution. I think Roger Cole from the Peace and Neutrality Alliance. But opposition, the accusation against government is that this has been an attempt to undermine Irish neutrality or to nudge us in the direction of joining NATO. What does the government say in response?
Yeah, well, sort of like today, Matt Carty, Sinn Féin's spokesperson on foreign affairs, has been advancing that argument again. And he feels that neutrality and independent foreign policy has served Ireland well. But he contends that in this instance, the government has clearly sought to use the forum to reshape public opinion rather than facilitate a genuine public discussion. And we do know that there are people like Mick Barry, the Solidarity TD, who's going to be protesting outside of the gates of UCC this morning. I also think there's a number of other protests happening at lunch. Time. But the government's answer to this is that what it is trying to do is to take account of the changing world order. It is trying to have an overview of the challenges that we face. What are the policies that are open to the country? And this report, which will be compiled by the forum chair at the end of the 4 meetings, will help to inform government on what policies they may advance. So they're saying this isn't preordained. This is an open and inclusive discussion. That's how they're framing it.
And there has been government backing, hasn't there, for the chair, Professor Louise Richardson, after she received an apology from President Higgins for his remarks in that Sunday Business Post interview.
Yeah, he was questioning basically her credentials for the jobs, opining that he could think of a few other people who would be in a better position to do the job. Now, that is something that he did retract, saying they were off-the-cuff remarks. It was something that he... effectively, it was the first type we had the first type of apology we'd had from the president on a matter like that since he took the presidential oath all the way back in 2011. Professor Richardson herself is someone who got her PhD from Harvard. She lectured there for 20 years in relation to international terrorism and counterterrorism, and was also vice chancellor of Oxford University in England. So someone with a very high reputation. It's going to be her job to compile the final report for Taoiseach Micheál Martin, which draws on all of the 4 days, as I said, in Cork, Galway and in Dublin. And it's from that Micheál Martin will be advancing policies to bring to Cabinet.
Indeed, and that's the question, and it's been asked by a number of politicians in the Dáil as well. What happens when this 4 days are over? Is there this going to be, for instance, is the report going to be presented to the Dáil? Is there going to be a citizens' assembly if there are any recommendations for change?
No decision has been taken on that. Brendan Howland, the Labour TD and former leader, he was advancing the argument that it should go back to the Dáil for discussion. I think it's more likely that whatever plans the government has, that they're going to be brought to the Dáil for debate. And it is going to be tricky. I mean, take for example, we know that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have raised questions over Ireland's triple lock requirement for UN Security Council backing before Irish Defence Forces are deployed overseas. They believe that, as it currently stands, allowing the UN Security Council to dictate whether we are deployed or our forces are deployed abroad effectively gives a veto to Russia. So is that the type of measure which is going to be advanced by the government? They're not saying exactly what they're going to do yet. They say you have to have the consultative forum first and then we see what happens.
And this against a backdrop of opinion polls as well showing very strong, consistently strong public support for Irish neutrality.
Absolutely. And so I think the government is going to be treading very carefully on this. Within sort of government backbenchers, when you're talking to people, they say, yes, the polls do say they're supporting of neutrality, but what is neutrality in the first instance? And secondly, within the government's plans, they don't and are not trying to advance the idea of joining either NATO or any other military alliance. So they feel that there is scope for change and they're not trying to do what some are saying they're purporting to try to do, which is to diminish or dilute our neutrality at all.
So it's going to be a big day for Defence Minister and Foreign Affairs Minister Taoiseach Micheál Martin. But while he was at a meeting in London yesterday, his parliamentary party decided they'd like a deputy leader. Is that right?
Well, when the cat's away, Áine, sometimes the mice will play. So yes, there was a Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting. That's where TDs and senators and MEPs gather to discuss party policy. They're completely private, but so every now and again we do hear things that came out. And one of the things we heard was that from Senator Malcolm Byrne, he advanced the idea that there should be a deputy leader of Fianna Fáil once again. As was mentioned in the beginning of the programme, beginning of Morning Ireland, this was something which Derek Cleary used to hold. He's now Minister of State, but the position itself has been vacant after he stood down in the aftermath of that golfing, Oireachtas golfing event. It is a position which is one of an awful lot of status. When Derek Cleary did hold the role, he was also then the chief negotiator when it came to the programme for government, negotiating that programme for government of this coalition. And therefore, I think that people within the party are thinking this is something which is important and could also be important for the person who gets it. So the idea has been advanced. The question is whether Taoiseach Micheál Martin wants to have a deputy again. He's due to speak to the press at around 11 o'clock this morning and no doubt he'll be asked about that.
OK, and Paul reporting on that for RTE throughout the day. Follow him for updates. It's 28 minutes past seven. And let's go back now to the Consultative Forum on International Security Policy, the first of 4 day-long meetings beginning in Cork shortly. And we're going to talk now to two academics who will be addressing the forum. Assistant Professor in the History of War at UCD, Edward Burke, will be speaking at tomorrow's meeting in Galway. And this morning he's here in studio with me. And good morning to you. And Politics Professor at DCU, Gary Murphy, is on the line. He's going to be taking part in the second session in Cork this morning, which deals with European security after the invasion of Ukraine. So, Gary Murphy, seeing as how you're speaking this morning, what are you going to say? And do you welcome the chance to say it at this forum?
Oh, hi, Áine. Yes, I do. I welcome the forum very much. I think it's an appropriate thing for the state to do, to re-examine its security policy in the aftermath of the war in Ukraine. Ireland is one of many states that has done this and is doing it, is re-evaluating its... it's not just about neutrality, of course, it's about its security. How will we adapt to the war in Ukraine? How has that changed the war, the security situation in Europe? Is it possible to contribute or to cooperate with Russia? How will the outcome, the end point of the war in Ukraine impact this? All these questions, I think, are very important and have been sort of missed in the what I would call the hysteria of the in the aftermath of the president's comments that this government is trying to basically abolish Ireland's policy of neutrality. So there's all sorts of questions. What role does the OSCE play in the new context? What role does Ireland?
That's the Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe.
Cooperation in Europe, which is although Europe is in the title, there are over 150 countries in it. But also in terms of our mm-hmm. membership of Partnership for Peace, which we've been in since 1999, which allows us to basically cooperate and discuss issues with NATO, or membership of PESCO. So there's a whole range of issues on you, which I think the state, in the guise of this forum should be discussing. I think everyone will understand that the nature of security has changed dramatically. And we see it in our daily lives here with the influx of over 80,000 and perhaps more Ukrainian refugees who, remember, are fleeing war on our continent. So in that context, I think it's perfectly appropriate for the state, and I've often been critical of this government in many other forums, but I think it's perfectly appropriate that this forum takes place.
And Edward Burke, you also support having this debate, and you'll be speaking tomorrow. And I suppose you're talking about, global security. And is Irish neutrality the same, but the context for Irish neutrality now very different?
I think, frankly, Irish neutrality means a great deal at home, but it's sometimes poorly understood abroad in terms of, what we mean when we say we're politically neutral, but, we cannot supply funds for Ukraine to defend itself with ammunition.
Militarily, but not politically neutral is the line, yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's poorly understood, particularly by some other EU member states who showed a lot of solidarity to Ireland in recent times over Brexit. Mm-hmm. And, frankly, when President Higgins came out and said that Ireland was somehow morally superior to the Baltic states, I think that went down quite badly in those countries.
But there is a concern, isn't there, that post-Ukraine, and I mean it's been various statements from Macron and so on, people can point to, that, Europe is going in a more militaristic direction. Are we being swept along in that tide?
I think European democracies are under attack. And that's something that we have to recognise. So we've got, the greatest war in Europe since 1945. It is a war of aggression. Is it a war of atrocity? I think it's reasonable for European countries to respond to that. And in the EU, we've also seen, an intense disinformation campaign against European democracies that is emanating from Russia since the invasion of Ukraine. That's been documented very much by the European Parliament. And we also have seen, increased naval activity in the North Atlantic, particularly off the Irish coast. And again, the European Parliament is very clear on that. They see that as a threat to free, open and secure circulation of data, not least a threat to the subsea cables off the Irish coast. So this is a huge issue, not only for Irish citizens and their democracy, their rights, their freedoms, but also for 400 million other EU citizens who care very much about that.
And Gary Murphy, we've learned that there was the secret deal with the RAF to defend our skies. We don't even have basic radar to know what's going on up there. And we don't know what's happening and haven't got the capacity to defend those critical undersea cables, the infrastructure linking the world that is off our coast and on our seabed. Do we need to join new partnerships in order to have that defence? Do we need to spend more ourselves? Or do we need to start looking at closer ties with NATO? How do we protect ourselves there?
Well, I think these are the questions that the forum is attempting to answer. For what it's worth, I think Ireland is probably in enough organisations with varying acronyms, PESCO, OSCE, PFP and the like. But there are significant questions about spending. I know many people on the left in particular think the Irish state should be spending in different years, and God knows the state itself faces significant problems in housing and health, as we've discussed many times. But I think it is really important, and as Edward says, that we take the security of our state in a more maybe substantive fashion than we have up to now, where we have relied on the sort of the kindness of not quite strangers, but certainly of others, including, as you said, the deal with the RAF going back since the the early 1950s. And on neutrality, I think there is, again, a sort of, you know, people are in many ways missing the point. There's a type of mythic neutrality. Ireland was obviously neutral in World War II, but it gave enormous support to the Allies through things like weather forecasts and the like, intelligence gathering. Certainly people like Sean Lamass weren't neutral when it came to the sort of the war of ideas during the Cold War. He certainly, and I think and others, would have happily have sacrificed or joined NATO for the ending of partition, for getting into the EEC, although that didn't become that wasn't necessary in 1972 afterwards. So the history of Irish neutrality, in one way, has been what the Irish state has wanted it to be over the course of its duration. And I think the questions you pose on you about whether we need to spend more, should we in more alliances? These exactly is what the forum is trying to achieve. There's no one, you know, and when you said to me, well, what am I going to say today? My job in one way is to look at what these issues mean for the modern Irish state, which of course I've written and talked about quite a lot over the years. But there are experts from all across the sort of the gamut, both from academia, various think tanks, neutral states. So it is not the sort of, I think, stitch up. And no one told me what to say at this forum, because if they did, I simply wouldn't have taken part. And I'm sure that goes the same for pretty much everyone at it.
What do you think, Edward Burke, should happen with the deliberations that will come out of these 4 days? Because even there, you know, there's a debate about, you know, should this report be the property of the government and inform government policy? Should it lead to more open public consultation in the Dáil or through a citizens' assembly? Because the issue is transparency and trust if we're to have this discussion, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think you know, I very much hope that the you know, this should be a public report.
And by the way, it is being streamed online for anyone who wants to watch on the DFA website.
I think this is, I mean, I've worked in several European countries and I've never seen a process as open as this when it comes to consultations on national security and defence. It tends to usually in other countries, Spain, Germany, etc., to be a very closed door. With, you know, selected invitees and the public not present. I think it's okay to have, for example, there's a very small number of military participants coming to the forum. I think it's okay to have, you know, a small military presence. It would be unusual to talk about an illness without a doctor being present. And, you know, we need some expertise there. Mm-hmm. It's we don't have a tradition of discussion of defence in this country going back decades. So this is a real bolt. It's a shot in the arm. I know, I think that's taken some people by surprise, but I think that's good. As it should be public. It should be discussed in Oireachtas. We need stronger Oireachtas committees dealing with defence. And I look forward to a range of views. And going forward, I don't think anyone's ruled out, you know, further assemblies or further meetings. I think this is, again, in the European context, this is very uniquely transparent in a national security context.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been a lively debate so far, and I think certainly it promises to be so in the future. Thank you both for talking to us about it this morning. Edward Burke, Assistant Professor in the History of War at UCD, and Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at DCU. 28 minutes past 8.